Hello and welcome to Sangam Lit. This is Nandini Karki, and in this episode, we relish the rich imagery depicted in Sangam literary work Natrinai 73, written by Moolankiranar. Set in the drylands of the Palay landscape, the poem revolves around the theme of separation. Speaking in the voice of the lady to her confidant, the verse expresses the lady's anguish on hearing that her man intends to part away. Venil murukkin vilaithunar anna mana virala valvai pei mallal mudur malarpali uniya mandram polum punkan malai தம்முடும் அஞ்சும் நம் இவன் ஒளியச் செல்ப என்பதாமே செவ்வரி மயிர் நிறைத்தன்ன வார்கோல் வாங்கு கதிர் சென்னல் அம் செருவின் அன்னம் துஞ்சும் பூக்கெழு படப்பை சாய் காட்டு அன்னையன் நுதர்க்கவின் அழிக்கும் பசலையும் அயலூர் தூற்றும் அம்பலும் அழித்தே. ஹாரர் ஷவுட்ஸ் த போயம் அஸ் வி கிளிம்ஸ் த வேர்ட் பே மீனிங் கோஸ்ட். That's a genre I've always shunned when it comes to movies, and yet I was compelled to walk on through the verse. The term Mudur means ancient town, and this is fascinating because we must remember we are reading an ancient verse dating back to more than 2000 years, and in that finding a reference to an ancient town only proclaims the antiquity of the Tamil culture. Punkan Malai. So many of these poems seem to be filled with those hurtful evenings. Seeing Anjum, I see that this lady shares my fear of the horror genre. Rhythmically similar, Tunjum occurs a little later in the poem and means the opposite, sleeps, perhaps even sleeps peacefully. Those fear-invoking elements in ancient inner life like pasalai, meaning illness of pining, and ambal, meaning slander, make their appearance in the verse and tune our hearts to the sorrowful state of the lady. The man and woman have been in a happy relationship, and the time comes for the man to part away from her in search of wealth. Learning of his impending departure, the lady turns to her confidant and says, "With hideous hands that look like ripened clusters of the murukku tree that blooms in the summer, and with a mighty mouth rises a ghost. As the sun falls, it walks to the ruins in that fertile ancient town to feed on flower offerings. On such sorrowful evenings, even when I'm close with him, I'm terrified. Now they say that he is to part away from me. On a field filled with long and curved fertile stalks of the paddy crop, looking as if filled with golden strands of hair, sleeps a swan in the flower-filled village of Saikadu, endowing me with the illness of pining that will destroy the beauty of my forehead akin to the village of Saikadu, and leaving me with the fate of being mocked by strangers with their slander. He is to part away. How am I to bear this?" Through these words, the lady expresses her pain at the news of the man's parting away. If we dare to look beyond ghosts and the fear they evoke, we reap fascinating insights from this fertile field of poetry. First, we meet a new friend, the murukku tree, also called as the tiger claw tree or the coral tree. The verse describes the tree as one that breaks into flower clusters in the venil or the summer season. Reading more about this tree and its flowers, I found that the Sinhalese people of Sri Lanka refer to this flower as the Erabadu and celebrate their new year when this flower blooms. Searching for it, I find that the said new year falls on April 14, which also happens to be the new year in many South Asian regions. This goes to say that even 2000 years ago, the summer or the venil started in the month of April. Why is this tree referred, by the way? To say that the ghost has fingers like the flower clusters of this tree. Tiger claw and ghost fingers. The tree's common name, and this Sangam reference stands testimony to our common human imagination across centuries and cultures. From this we understand that some ancients believed that ghosts roamed the villages in the evening feeding on flower offerings. A ghost that feeds on flowers? One with a poetic sense, I suppose. Indeed, this reference to the ghost turns out to be a hidden metaphor for the affliction of pining that will feed on the beauty of the lady as the man parts away. The said beauty is described by the lady as being like the lush village of Saikade with its golden fields of paddy and flower-filled groves. This village of Saikade is said to be an ancient village from the Sangam era on the north shore of the Kaveri River. This beautiful village is filled with fields of sennel, or a type of paddy with a yellowish hue. And we find the simile to describe these fields as Sevvari Mayir, meaning golden hair. The fields are described as looking as if golden strands of hair had been planted in the soil. Now, this made me question whether the reference to golden hair is merely the imagination of the poets who have replaced the black hair that they were accustomed to seeing with a golden color, or is it in fact an observation of people from other cultures, perhaps Roman, whom they have encountered in their journeys. Interesting how a simple simile evokes us to ponder upon the meeting of cultures in the ancient world. Returning back to the verse, on those golden fields, a swan is said to sleep peacefully. What a picturesque village! The lady, by opening with images of the terrifying ghost, contrasts it with these images of a swan asleep in the lush field of a fragrant village. With this reference to that serene swan, she paints a portrait of her current life, her peaceful life in the embrace of her man. Let's wish that she builds the strength to face the changing circumstances of her life, realizing that the only ghosts there are those within our minds. Thanks for listening to this episode of Sangam Lit and journeying with me to ancient lands and minds. Please do visit nandinikarki.com to share your thoughts and do rate and review Sangam Lit on your favorite podcast app. Until next time, Nandri Vanakkam.